So, Lord, as we ponder your word to us now, we pray that you would fill our hearts with that awe at your majesty, that our lives may encounter your glory and reflect your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do have a seat. I wonder, what is the best invitation that you've ever had? I got invited this year to a friend's 60th in July, and he's booked this manor house in the Lake District, and there's going to be a hog roast, and there's going to be a chef, and I'm like, I am going to that. That is an amazing invitation. My mum and dad had an invitation to a garden party at Buckingham Palace a few years ago, and I think there's one or two others here who might have had a similar invitation. Well, you can imagine how excited they were. And we get those invitations, don't we? We plan what we're going to do and how we're going to get there. If you're like my mum, she was planning for about 6 months what she was going to wear. And we're thrilled, aren't we, that we would be considered special enough or a good, close enough friend, a good enough friend of this person that we've been invited. And the words that kind of jumped out at me today when looking at those two readings that we had from Exodus and from Matthew were those words, come up to me, come up to me. God extends an invitation to us, and surely that is the best invitation we could ever get. Those four words that we heard there in Exodus, and they lie at the heart of the Christian life. Come up to me. Before there were commandments, before there is the glory, before there is transfiguration and transformation, there's an invitation. Jesus does the same in the gospel. He leads his disciples up a mountain. This is a God who doesn't wait at a distance. He calls us, invites us, draws us to come closer. And in both readings, when people respond to that invitation, we see that something extraordinary happens. God's glory is revealed and people are changed. And so both those passages invite us to reflect on two quite really important questions. Where and how do we encounter or meet with God? And how are we changed by that encounter? Well, firstly, we encounter God by responding to that invitation, to his invitation, an invitation that's always there. I think sort of fundamentally, the initiative is always God's. We might feel that longing for him, that sense that there's something missing, that we want to find out more, but that longing, I think, is something he plants within us. In Exodus, the Lord calls, come up to me. Moses hasn't wandered up the mountain out of curiosity. He's invited. In Matthew's gospel, the disciples don't suggest, let's go for a hike. Jesus leads them up the mountain. The pattern seems to be God invites, we respond. In both Exodus and Matthew, the place of encounter is up a mountain. And mountains in Scripture were traditionally places of revelation. Now, we can, of course, encounter God absolutely anywhere. But there are times when we need to sort of perhaps come away from the usual distractions. Moses had to leave the camp of the Israelites. Peter, James, and John have to leave the other disciples and the crowds. They had to kind of leave the noise, the distraction behind, and respond to a specific invitation. And the same is true for us. God invites us to draw near in prayer, in worship, in reading scripture, sometimes just in silence. He says, come up to me. Not necessarily a literal mountain, but to a place and a time set apart where we intentionally focus our attention on him. Where might that be for you? Is it a particular room in your house? Maybe it's just a particular armchair or a favourite walk. It can be very easy to put it off. We're busy, distracted, or maybe just comfortable where we are at the foot of the mountain. So an encounter with God does require a response from us. In the book of James, we read, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's an amazing invitation, isn't it? The question is, will we accept it? So we encounter God by responding to his invitation, and then we encounter him by experiencing his glory. On Mount Sinai, the glory of the Lord settles like a consuming fire, we read, and Moses enters the cloud. And we see this description of cloud and fire over and over again in the Old Testament to describe this presence of God. There's mystery, there's awe, there's power, there's even fear, because God is not tame. His presence is powerful, almost kind of heavy, weighty, and it's holy. In other words, completely other, totally different in nature and order to any earthly power or presence. On the mountain of Transfiguration, Jesus is suddenly changed. Matthew uses the word metamorphosis, the word for that. Luke, in his account, says Jesus became other. His face shines like the sun, his clothes become dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appear, speaking with him. The cloud of God's presence overshadows them. And a voice declares, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. And the disciples' reaction? To fall flat on their faces, terrified. And I don't think the parallels are any coincidence in that the same sort of language is used to describe the glory and presence of God in both the Old Testament and at the transfiguration of Jesus. In the Gospel, God speaks from the cloud, but the fire, if you like, the light as strong as the sun, that's coming from Jesus himself. He and the Father share that same glory. How might we experience God's glory today? It probably isn't in a blinding light or audible voices, although it might be. But we can still have very real, very deeply moving experiences of God's presence nonetheless. We may experience that sense of awe when we worship, when the words of the prayers or the hymns and the music seem to lift our hearts beyond ourselves. There's an old prayer in the Book of Common Prayer, the general thanksgiving. I have a moment every time I read that when it talks about the inestimable love of God. And there's a worship song, is it 100 billion times or something like that? I have a moment every time I sing that worship song where we have somehow our hearts are lifted beyond ourselves. Or we may experience awe when we look at the stars in the night sky or see incredible scenery or hear the oceans roar. And creation around us directs our heart to its creator, our creator. Friends once told me of someone that he knew who'd encountered God for the first time when he was sitting contemplating a blade of grass. And he suddenly thought, how miraculous is this one blade of grass? We may experience God's presence when we pray, including those times of silence when he feels so near, so real. We may encounter God through the words of the Bible when they suddenly seem to come alive and seem to speak directly to us in our situations, or when suddenly a light bulb of understanding goes on, or we find our hearts kind of stirring when we read something. We encounter God through his Holy Spirit, who uses all of the above to draw us into God's presence, to help us encounter Jesus in a new, a real way, who gives us a deep sense of God's love, a deep sense of God's peace. Back on the mountaintop, Peter is a bit overwhelmed. He wants to build shelters, which is a very strange thing to sort of read. Is he wanting to somehow kind of freeze this moment? He wants to stay there on the mountaintop. But God's glory is not meant to be contained. It can't be. And so the Father's voice from the clouds kind of interrupts him, redirects them. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. The purpose of encountering God's glory is revelation. Peter, James, and John, they see Jesus for who he truly is, not merely their friend, their teacher, not merely a prophet, but the beloved Son of God, radiant with divine light, sharing the Father's glory. Every true encounter with God reveals Jesus more clearly to us, and we're changed as well. Encounters with God don't leave us untouched. When Moses comes down from Mount Sinai carrying the law, we read further on in Exodus that his face shone, reflecting God's glory. The disciples come down the mountain with a new understanding of who Jesus is and that instruction to listen to him, to believe him, do as he says, follow his guidance. In the Gospels, the transfiguration happens just after Jesus has been speaking to his disciples about his death. They're very confused, dismayed. This mountaintop experience isn't an escape from reality, it's preparation for it. Moses leaves the camp below. The disciples leave the crowds behind. Something happens up there that prepares them for what waits down there. The disciples have a glimpse of Jesus' true glory so that they can endure what is to come. They see who Jesus truly is so that when they see him crucified, they can have hope. They still find it difficult, don't they, to hold on to that hope. Those moments when we experience that awe, that peace, that new insight, help us to go through our own difficult times. They renew our confidence in our great and awesome Saviour. Time spent with God equips us for our ongoing journey of faith. We carry something of those encounters into our ordinary life, into our work, our families, our day-to-day struggles. And an encounter with God transfigures, changes us as well. We might not be sure we want that. Perhaps it sounds a bit weird or scary, or we think, oh, I think I'm okay as I am, thank you very much. But here's the thing. Was Jesus really changed at his transfiguration? Did he suddenly metamorphose into someone else? Or is it that Peter, James, and John get a glimpse of who Jesus really is, his true nature? He's still the man they know, but they also now see that he is so much more. Maybe our encounters with God, in those encounters, he just wants to help us be more who we truly are, the people that he's made us to be, releasing the potential that he has put in us and he can see in us. Gradually, bit by bit, by listening to Jesus and by the work of his Spirit within us, we're transformed. St. Paul later writes that as we behold the Lord's glory, As we spend time in his presence, we're changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Encounters with God lead to transformation. How do we encounter God? We respond to his invitation to draw near, to make space for him. How are we changed? We see Jesus more clearly. We listen to him. We have renewed confidence and trust in this mighty God that we have. We're strengthened for the road ahead. And we become more who we are meant to be. And so the Lord's invitation is always there. Come up to me. And it is the best invitation that we could have. Amen.
First reading is taken from Exodus chapter 24, beginning at verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, "Come to me up on the mountain and stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joseph, his assistant, and Moses went up the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading this morning is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord.